Living Well. Living Well is designed to provide general information. It is not intended to be, nor is it, medical advice. Readers should consult their physicians when they have health problems. Power in the Blood by Lance Fraser. Blood transports oxygen, carries away waste, protects against infection, delivers nutrients throughout the body, and clots when we're injured. Even so, we're looking for ways to make it do even more. Kateri Moore, Associate Professor of Development and Regenerative Biology at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, has authored a study of hematopoietic stem cells, which are responsible for producing millions of red blood cells every day. Working with mouse fibroblasts, cells whose normal function is to maintain connective tissue in the body, Moore and her colleagues found that by transferring four genes into these cells, they could produce cells that closely resemble hematopoietic stem cells. Theoretically, it could be possible to produce human hematopoietic stem cells in the same way, aiding treatment of diseases like leukemia and immune deficiency disorders, Moore says. MRSA, E. coli, poisonous snakes, and bees produce toxins that destroy red blood cells by poking holes in their membranes. A group that includes Leon Fangjiang of the University of California, San Diego Jacobs School of Engineering, has found that by cloaking a specially engineered polymer nanosponge in a bit of membrane from a human red blood cell, the toxin can be tricked into attacking the camouflaged cell. Once a toxin punctures the cell membrane, it loses its toxicity, becoming a harmless protein the liver can easily break down. Zhang is now engaged in producing these cloaked defenders in large enough numbers to start human clinical trials. Normal red blood cells look like donuts without the holes and move easily through blood vessels, but a genetic mutation can result in red blood cells that are sickle-shaped. These cells are stiff and sticky, can block blood vessels, and die much more quickly, 10 to 20 days, than normal red blood cells, 120 days. But Jeremy Rupon and his team at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia may have found a way to turn back the clock to a cure. Up to 6 months of age, our bodies are producing fetal hemoglobin, a different type of hemoglobin unaffected by the mutation causing sickle cell disease. Rupon and his colleagues found that they can flip a genetic switch that would cause the body to resume producing fetal hemoglobin. An adult expressing fetal hemoglobin can lead essentially a normal life, because the fetal hemoglobin functions very similarly to adult hemoglobin, he says. A serious injury will trigger clotting to slow the bleeding and begin the healing process. Thomas Barker, associate professor in Georgia Tech's Wallace H. Coulter Department of Biomedical Engineering, has been working on the development of injectable artificial platelets, cells active in the clotting process. These platelets could remain in circulation until a chemical signal from the body triggers their activation at a wound site, or they could be injected by medics to treat a combat or accident wound, Barker says. He observes that 30% to 40% of accident deaths occur from uncontrolled bleeding. They literally die between the car accident and the ER, he says. Our goal is to magnify the body's ability to deal with trauma, especially in a situation where it might not be able to deal with it on its own. We're not quite there yet, but it's an exciting prospect. Building new tissue to replace damaged tissue is another exciting frontier. To build new tissue, you need new blood vessels to keep these tissues alive. Jaylees Riemann of the University of Illinois at Chicago and his colleagues have found a particular protein in the stem cells of adult bone marrow that directs other cells to form tiny functional blood vessels. We found that by mixing these adult stem cells with endothelial cells, the cells actually combined to produce functional blood vessels, Riemann says. In theory, we could use a similar approach to create something like a new artery to replace a damaged section of an old one. There's more on the horizon, but as always, the research takes time and money. Breakthroughs will happen eventually, but how soon, I can't promise, Moore says. Budget cuts, government shutdowns, sequesters, etc., have resulted in the lowest levels of research funding I have seen in over 25 years in science. A Guide to Allergy-Free Dining. Allergy Eats, an online guide to allergy-friendly diet solutions, recently released its list of allergy-friendly restaurant chains. Large restaurant chains, 200-plus, 4.45 Red Robin Gourmet Burgers, 4.43 P.F. Chang's China Bistro, 4.41 Chipotle Mexican Grill, 4.35 Outback Steakhouse, 4.20 Romano's Macaroni Grill. Medium restaurant chains, 50 to 200. 4.43 Bonefish Grill. 4.28 99. 4.26 Mellow Mushroom. 4.24 Uno Pizzeria and Grill. 4.17 Bertucci's Italian Restaurant. According to Allergy Eats, these restaurants have demonstrated a superior willingness and ability to accommodate guests with food allergies. Marriage is good for your heart. A recent study of 3.5 million people, the largest of its kind, reveals that heart health is related to marital status. Specifically, the study, presented to the American College of Cardiology by lead author Carlos Alvear of the New York University Langone Medical Center, concludes that for every age cohort, there is a noticeable cardiac health benefit to marriage. According to AFP, the tie was strongest in people younger than 50. In this group, marriage was linked to a 12% lower odds of any heart or artery disease, the report stated. In addition, among those 51 to 60, there were 7% lower odds of heart disease and 4% among those 61 and older. Suzanne Steinbaum of New York's Lenox Hill Hospital told AFP that because the married people are more likely to help each other stay healthy by making sure their spouses eat well, exercise, and take medications, they tend to be at less risk for heart disease. Storks making more house calls. Out-of-hospital births increased from 1.26% of U.S. births in 2011 to 1.36% in 2012. This continues an increase that began in 2004, after a low of 1% from 1969 through the 1980s. In 1900, almost all U.S. births occurred outside a hospital, but that number fell to 44% by 1940. Alaska, Idaho, Montana, Oregon, Pennsylvania, and Washington had the highest percentages of out-of-hospital births, 3 to 6. Rhode Island, Mississippi, and Alabama had the lowest.